You know, we've been grown up in church where you'd sung songs. And one of the foundations of starting Life Church was one of worship. And I think it sort of started really with we'll talk a little bit more about that in next month, but you know, two orange chairs with a speaker stood on one and a speaker stood on the other one, and a guitar and a, just after a few weeks. In a school. So come and, but it was worship. So be sure to get those weeks in next month, first 3 weeks of July, in your diary. When you see it starting to come up on social media, be sure to share it and get it around. Invite people here to some of the things we're doing. It's not so much a celebration, but it's a thanksgiving. You know, when you've done 30 years, you look back and think you have to thank God for how you got to where you are. You know, when birthdays are, you know, as you get older in life, it's not so much of a celebration, but it's thank God I got here. and just being some thanksgiving as to, remembering some of the events and some of the things that took place, some of the people that helped us to get to where we are. Because you don't do things just because you put a sign up and say we're meeting somewhere. It takes people in life and the Holy Ghost to get things to a place where you can say we've been going for 30 years. So that's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And I just thank God we've got more than just two orange chairs and two sort of wooden cabinet type speakers and a microphone and a lot of feedback. And with that, you know, church is so important. Church is so important. I've been looking just these last few weeks at what Jesus said to his disciples, or said to Peter, when Peter got that revelation of who Jesus was, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that gave Jesus the foundation to say to him, and you know, flesh and blood did not give this to you. You didn't get it through your intellect. You didn't get it through because you studied at a university. It's not even just one of your opinions. You got it from a Father who is in heaven. He said he changed Peter's name, or as he was Simon before, he changed him to Peter. He said, on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And even local church, if you're building local church, you know the gates of hell will try and prevail against it. Hello? You know, you don't get to where you are in your personal life without a few challenges. Without having to put some things in place and do some things in your life to keep yourself in that place where you get to the next year. And so he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And remember, it is his church. It's very tempting and it's very easy, and it is, I guess, more so if you're building with flesh and blood, to build your church or my church or this church or the church with that name or a church with this name or a church in this building and a church in this place. But it's his church. Remember, the last couple of years, I've seen a church that we know has gone from being in a huge, great building and a great facility to sort of breaking down a little bit and sort of changing the way they do things a little bit. You know, almost like I haven't spoken to anybody there, but it's almost like you're seeing that they're recognizing it's not about a building, it's not about a facility, although facilities are important, they're helpful, and we need them, but it's recognized that it's his church. And sometimes he says things and speaks. So I'm going to do things a little bit differently than how you have been setting things up, because it's become your church with this name or that name or this structure. And this is how it has to be. And it's got away from being his church. He says, I will build my church. It is his church. And in building his church, I've said the last couple of weeks that when he said that, he left. So how can he build his church if he's not there? Of course, he was saying that a little bit previous to Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. We see the birthing of the church, and Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and instructs, or really just tells people, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what is going on and what has happened. And in doing that, he's preaching the gospel. And when you preach the gospel, when you preach Jesus, it cuts to the heart. And then people say, what must we do to be saved? And what does Peter say? Repent of your sins and be baptized. Turn your life around. Make a public declaration and start living differently. And in that, there's this building of his church. Because when the world starts to see a bunch of people living differently, righteously, full of the Holy Spirit, his church is going to grow. And so if you just pick this up in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, I've read this last week, I think. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And if in the purpose of the church we aren't directing people to a place where they receive Jesus, some would say we're sending people to hell in a handcart. Church, we need to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not just on a Sunday in church, but wherever we are. What will it profit a man if he gains his whole world but loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man come in his kingdom. And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and if he's speaking to his disciples, then he's speaking to us. You know, don't just think it was for them. And we know that. We don't need to tell you that. But it is for us. When we read the scripture, it is God speaking to us. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, we're followers of Jesus. Not just people just, we're following in his footsteps. We're following his pattern. We're following his way. And so in following him, don't forget that we are co-workers with him. No, we're not intended to be silent partners. We didn't get saved to be spectators and watch, and you see spectators have an opinion. Spectators make judgments. We're not created to be spectators, but we're created to be those who come after him, looking at what Jesus expects and following him. So when we listen to or when we read what Jesus says, he doesn't intend us to listen to his word through, if you like, our flesh and blood ears. See, when we listen to his word, when we listen to his teaching, when we hear what he has to say, you know, we are to listen to him through our spiritual hearing, not through our flesh and blood. See, sometimes we can be so intellectual, we try and bring his teaching and his word into our intellect rather than allow it to come through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and minister to us. You know, Jesus said many times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. At one point, he says he cried out Come on, get it. You know, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. If you've got ears to hear, hear. And the Revelation says what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to the Word of God through your spiritual ears, not through your natural understanding. You know, get a feel of what Jesus is saying as we listen to what he says. See, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit pure and simple. Not through a filter of our opinions and our preset ideas. And try and get his word to fit into our time frame, to fit into our narrative, to fit into our thinking, to fit into our culture. God is looking somewhat, you know, God is looking for people who will come after me and think well like I think. Put their their feet in my shoes. Paying a price. Look, listening to his word, hearing what he's saying through, if you like, the finished work of the cross. Through who we are positioned now in Jesus Christ, in Christ. We have been raised up with him. We're seated with him in heavenly places. We're not, you may be sitting on a blue chair, and I'll often say that maybe we'll change our chairs to red chairs. But it's blue chairs that people in the church bought 20 odd years ago because they wanted a chair to sit on when they came to church. So you're sitting on church chairs that somebody else paid for. That's one of the things we need to thank God for. Amen. just to buy and buy. But you know, when we engage in the things of the kingdom of God, when we start living out the word of God, we have to live it out through who we are in Christ, not who we used to be in flesh and blood. I think I said last week, cross-bearing doesn't refer to some irritation in life. Oh, that's a cross I have to bear. Rather, it involves the way of the cross, the way that Jesus went when he took the cross. He carried the cross on his back, on his shoulders. He bore the cross, already condemned to die, to a place of execution. And the only way was dying. And the only answer could be resurrection. So Jesus puts, you know, denying self and taking up your cross together. Putting others first. So I really believe that when Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he was expecting radical followers to take up the cross and follow him, partner with him. It's not about coming up with a program and asking God to follow us. How many times do we do that? We make a decision to do something. Probably before we've even prayed about it. And then we ask God to support our decision rather than the other way. Follow him. Where are you leading me? Where do you want me to go? You know, following Jesus isn't just something is, well, you know, Mary had a little lamb. If that makes sense, probably doesn't make much sense. Is that, do you all know nursery rhymes? Maybe not. But just following like a little dog, maybe. Just following after, just. No, it's radical following is radical. Radically following Jesus. He's looking for people who are radical followers, who will partner with him, who are prepared to pay a price. It's not about coming up with a program and asking him to follow us, because that would be flesh and blood. And Jesus said, I can't build my church. If you got this through flesh and blood, I couldn't build my church. But you got this revelation, this understanding of who I am. I'm Christ the Messiah. I'm the Son of the living God. You got it from heaven. It's about following him radically. See, following Jesus, the way of the cross, may have been death, but unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot live. It can be costly. Sadly, it's a cost that not many are prepared to pay. So in many countries today, you can face persecution and even death. We've seen it just this week. Those lives taken. Why? Because they profess to be Christians. We don't have to suffer that sort of way. Just because they profess to be followers of Christ, lose their lives. Following in self-denial means others centered, being others centered. And church, you know, church should be this place where others centered. Human nature wants to indulge in self. Self-preservation. Keep myself okay. Look after number one. Take care of number one. Not deny self. Too often, you know, Christians today, we just want to take care of ourselves and self-indulge, be self-centered. And if it's my walk with Jesus, nobody else. I just want to be with Jesus. Yes, of course we must be with Jesus. But if you're truly with Jesus, he's going to show you some things that get you out of your self-indulgence. Because if you're truly, you know, just you and Jesus, he's going to show you something that'll shake you up. If you're going to say, okay, I really want to be with Jesus and follow Jesus, he's going to show you a way in which he went, which meant certain death to self. But in following Jesus, you experience resurrection power. Because if you follow him, pay the price he paid, or prepared to pay the price, you walk in resurrection power. When Jesus said, follow me, he meant follow me this way, follow me my way, follow me the way I go. And in following Jesus, I think I said this last week, you're not always going to be able to bypass pain. You're not always going to be able to bypass suffering. How many of you in your following Jesus walk that you've taken in life have had situations where, well, that was painful. That was hard. That was a challenge to me. I wasn't expecting that to be thrown at me. I haven't experienced that before. In following Jesus, you're not going to be able to always bypass pain and suffering. But in following Jesus, you always win. In following Jesus, you always win. There's always, if you follow Jesus, you walk in resurrection power. But resurrection power comes at a price. I believe the world needs to see the church walking in resurrection power. You know, having a voice that is recognized. I believe, you know, the disciples on that day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached that sermon, he was preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He hadn't prepared for that. He didn't pull out his iPad and Google Pentecostal Sunday prayer sermon. Hello? He preached what was in him. He was living, I believe, in resurrection power because he was following Jesus. He got this far. He wasn't going to turn back. Of course, many had already turned back. He'd made a few mistakes, of course. Remember the cock that crowed? Reminded him of some stuff that he said and done. But of course, Jesus always comes to restore the humble hearted. He restored him. And he's able to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach that sermon. Lives get transformed. The church is birthed. And it's recognized. It wasn't long before all Jerusalem was in turmoil because there was people walking in resurrection power and allowing the Holy Ghost to direct them. And the world needs to see a church that's walking in resurrection power. You know, rather than the kingdom of this world setting the narrative for the church to be subject to, you can't say this, you can't say that, you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way. If you say this, this is going to happen. Oh, you can't go there. Oh, you can't touch that. Well, why can't you touch it? Why can't we just touch what's in the Bible? Now we think we've got freedom in the UK. But the freedom is getting, in many ways, more limited. Because of what you can and what you can't say in a public meeting. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Come on, God is looking for radical people prepared to walk in resurrection power because he's wanting to build his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, I believe he meant it. That's the word I'm standing on. Even when it seems he's maybe not working, he is still working. He's still working. Let's stand on his word. Anything that comes against the purposes of Christ and his kingdom will not win. It'll try. It will try to win. It will try to overcome. And too often we see us in situations where it does win. Or it seems to win in the here and now. Church, do we recognize what comes against the church? And I think that's where we have to be so switched on to the Holy Spirit. And so switched on to who we are in Christ so that we know, and we're so switched on to his word that we know what his word says. So we recognize when something comes against his church. And if we're able to, how many of you get a quickening in your spirit? When you hear something, you see something, well, that ain't right. Do we recognize what comes against the church? See, I think a lot of Christians read or they may not read and think it's all okay. That I have my salvation and I'll fit into a church as one that's convenient for me. What do we treat with convenience, something that cost Jesus' life? Wow. When you hear somebody say, well, I can't find a church to go to, and I'm a Christian, well, you need to read your Bible. Sometimes we just look for something which is convenient for us, rather than something that is going to, where we can use what he has put in us. Where we can use what he has paid a price for. So what do we treat with convenience? Something that cost Jesus his life. I don't believe it was convenient for Jesus to take up his cross. If it be possible, Lord, take this cup from me. I'd rather not go through this. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Is that what he said? Not my way. Not the way that's convenient for me. I'd rather back out, slip out the side door and be gone. But your will. But your will. I don't believe it was convenient for Jesus to take up his cross. The church cost Jesus his life. When Paul is speaking on marriage in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The church cost Jesus his life. Church, something that is what, you know, the church is something that is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. It's amazing the things that we fight for. We fight for this issue. We fight for that issue. We protest about this and we protest about that. We'll hold a banner. Well, you probably don't hold a banner or whatever, but, you know, sometimes, you know, people hold banners for this and banners for that, protest about this, you know, petition this and petition that, have an opinion over there and have an opinion for this. I'm fighting for this right. I'm fighting for this right. But come on, let's be a people who fight for the church. It's worth fighting for because Christ gave his life for it. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They'll try. The church is something which is worth protecting. Hello. The church is something that is worth protecting. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is worth protecting because there are things which will try to prevail against it. Yeah, when we were in prayer this morning, Stephanie brought a thought from Nehemiah when he was building the walls, how people in their families would stay where their family was and build in that location. And also we read about how Nehemiah, when they was building the walls, he would say they would have a building tool in one hand and a sword in the other. And they watched the back of the people next to them. They watched while others were working and building on the wall, others were protecting. Come on, the church is worth protecting. The church is something that is worth praying for. Hello? You know, some of the least attendance in church meetings are the prayer meetings. But they should be, I believe, some of the most powerful. The church is worth praying for. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's worth praying for. How often do you pray for your church? I thank God we got people in this church who pray for the church. I have heard over the last few weeks people just, you know, pacing up and down in their home, you know, in the early hours of the morning because they sense something on the spirit and they're praying for the church. Thank you, Jesus, that people pray for the church. Church is something that is worth supporting. Getting involved in supporting it, you know, sometimes, you know, have you ever done things in your life and, you know, you want some help with something and you think, well, okay, I'm putting this on. And, well, where's all the support? The church is something which is worth supporting. He says it is part of recognizing that which will come against the church and being those who support the church. Church is something that is worth having faith for. Even though it doesn't feel like you're working, you're still working. It's his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is worth having faith for. Amen. Amen. God is wanting you to be a people of faith. Hello. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those diligently seek him. You've often heard me say things like, well, someone asks, what sort of church is Life Church? Well, you're a faith church, aren't you? And my answer is, well, is there another sort? You know, church should be a place where there's people of faith, and it's worth having faith for. And another one is something, the church is something that's worth being there for. Just being there for. You know, you need to be so glad there's someone sitting next to you this morning. Amen. Amen. You could be sitting next to somebody who's got something going on in their life where they need you to shoulder up to them and be there for them. Support them. Encourage them. I spoke to Jova this morning. I said, we're shoulder to shoulder with you on something. We're with you. We should be shouldering up to each other, supporting each other. You know, like, so, you know, if you get up somebody, close to somebody in a shoulder thing, you know, they can't fall over. Hello. You know, shouldering up to somebody will helps keep somebody steady. Shouldering up to somebody helps you. You know, I'm supporting you. Whatever you're going through, I'm there, supporting you. So there's just a few things there that was some things that are worth, the church is something which is worth fighting for. It's worth protecting. It's worth praying for. It's worth supporting. It's something that is worth having faith for. It's something that is worth being there for. Why? Because I have something in me. I've got something in me. You've got something in me. Well, it's not actually mine, it's his. That's been placed in me for the church. How many believe you've got gifts? How many believe you've got abilities? How many believe you've got talents? There's things which you can do that maybe not other people can do quite so well as you. You've got giftings, you've got abilities. They're not ours in as such, because they are his, because they've been given to us by him. And so with those, I have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility. When Jesus asks you, like he asked the ones who he gave talents to, what have you done with what I've given you? What is our answer going to be? Well, I went to church occasionally. Now, what have you done with what I gave you? Oh, well, I'm a Christian, so doesn't that count? No, what have you done with what I have given to you? Jesus is going to ask us someday, you know, what have you done? And we want to be able to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That places a responsibility on us. Oh, dear. What have I done with it? Well, it may cost me. It's nothing compared to what it cost Jesus. He says, I will build my church. Church, God is looking for people. He's looking for churches who recognize that, yes, the gates of hell will try to come against them, but they will not win. He's looking for people, I believe, who will stand up and say, yes, I'm there. I'm here. I'm with it. I'm for it. Why am I able to stand there and be who I'm called to be? Why? Because I'm living under the power of the Holy Spirit, as I'm living in resurrection power. Church, God is looking for people who will live in resurrection power and recognize that we are a people of God who have been called by his name for such a time as this. Instead of David, how when he died, he slept, having served the purposes of God in his generation, he slept with his fathers. Whose generation are you living in? Whose generation am I living in? My generation. I'm not living in the past generation. You know, I'm not living in the generation of a father and a grandfather. They've gone before me. We're not living in the generation of the Smith Wigglesworth. We were living in our generation. David was living in his generation and having served the purposes of God. What are the purposes of God? What he's put in you. What he put in David. What he's put in me. And God is looking for men and women who will serve his purposes. Not someone else's purposes, but his purposes. Yes, we serve a lot of purposes throughout our life in this way and that way, you know, fulfilling this and fulfilling that, and these things that take place in our life as we're growing families and businesses and whatever it might be. But I believe they all come and fit under and under the purposes of God. How many of you believe you're created in the image of Christ Jesus? How many of you believe you're born again? Yes, I was so excited this morning because Jovert told me about his children receiving Jesus yesterday. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? There's two new names written down in glory. And Alexian. This is Raphael. Isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't forget Raphael's name. It's right there. As sweet children. Thank God for they've got parents who are serving the purposes of God in their generation and raising another generation who will raise another generation until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what are we doing in serving the purposes of God in our generation? And we have different issues and we have different restrictions, but we have greater different opportunities than those who went before us had. Sometimes people hear people say, well, I wish I lived in that generation. Oh, no, you don't. Or I wish I lived in this generation. No, come on. It's a generation we have been placed on this planet for such a time as this. And I believe you're in this place for such a time as this. We have people here from all over the world. We just love it. Just love it. It's amazing. We love it. And we love you. It's complete. When we first started the church 30 years ago, one of the things said, we want to see people from all nations. And there was a few people from Poole. Oh, and then somebody came from Petersfield. Not quite another generation, another nation, but it's, you know. And then someone came from Australia, and then someone from South Africa, and then New Zealand, and oh no, it was New Zealand. Well, not New Zealand, New Zealand. And then Iceland, and they wanted to get warm. I thought it was a shop down the road. I thought they were going to bring some groceries. But we're here for such a time as this. And church, I thank God. I thank God the Life Church is this place that is full of people who are here for such a time as this. Amen? For such a time as this. And God has plans and God has purposes. And God is looking for us to just engage in what he has for us. His plans and his purposes. And use the gifts and the abilities and the skills which he has. Which when empowered and go through the filter of the Holy Spirit. Are able to fulfill the purposes of God. In our generation. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Will not prevail against it. So if you feel like the power of God is in you this morning, why don't you get on your feet this morning? Just say, come on, let's get on our feet and just recognize that we are the children of God. We are the people of God who are filled with his presence and filled with his power for such a time as this. And he says, I will build my church. And we are church builders because we are partnering with him. We're not here just to be spectators. But I tell you, he wants us to get involved and get behind what he is doing. As he builds his church, recognizing some of the things which will come against it and being a people who are prepared to stand up and say, this is my church. This is the church of the living God. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. You know, I'm living in resurrection power. God is wanting to see people living in resurrection power where there's a demonstration of his resurrection power. So when we come and when we gather, we should expect his presence to be in the house. And where his presence is healing. Where his presence is deliverance. So if you've got something going on in your life this morning, if you've got something going on, if you've got something which is out, it seems like God isn't working, you know, you need to believe that he is working. So if you're here this morning and you say, okay, I've got something going on, but it doesn't feel like God is working. I've got this going on. I haven't yet seen a breakthrough. I haven't yet seen my miracle. If you're here this morning, say, I haven't yet seen my miracle, but I believe God is working. I believe we're a people of faith. So have we got time for you to just come and stand here? We want to pray with you. You want to pray with you? I've turned my clock off now. But if you're here this morning, you know, and you say, I've got something going on in my life. Feels like God isn't working. Maybe you even woke up this morning and you thought, it feels like God isn't really working. I wish I'd received my miracle yesterday or last week. No, believe he's still working. And he is still working. Amen. whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe you will receive them and you will have them. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe. Even though it seems he's not working, he is still working. So come on, I believe there's more than one person here this morning. Linda's going to get it all. Now, come on. You know, some things we know, some things we don't know. Maybe you're believing for somebody in your world to get saved. Maybe you're believing for somebody to get healed. Maybe you've got something going on in your life. Is there anybody else? Say, one of the things I said about church is that we're here to support each other. Do you believe that? Support you. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We support each other. We pray. See, there's things that come against the church. Things come against the church in ways they come against people. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we recognize those things. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We can pray. It's worth the church body of Christ is worth praying for. It's worth praying for your brothers and sisters. Sometimes we hear, do you ever hear of things across the world where Christians are being persecuted?
Yes.
And you sort of think about it and then you almost stop thinking about it. But then you think, they are my brothers and my sisters. They are family. And if it was your physical, your real, you know, flesh and blood through your parents, brothers and sisters, you'd pray for them, wouldn't you? You'd be prepared to pay a price for them. You get on your knees and you call your church family together. God, this is family. So if you're stood back in the rows, can you mix your faith with the faith of these people who, even though it seems like he's not working, do you have faith to believe that he is working?
Thank you, Jesus.
Stretch your hands towards these people. Come on.